is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And so I'm so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper one of my very, very favorite poets. And she's been here many times. I'm so happy that she's joining us again because she wrote a very special book for Mother's Day. I'm so happy to welcome Kim Dower to Joy on Paper. Hi, Kim.
Good morning, Patsy, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, it's always so good to talk to you. And as I said, right from the beginning, I was so thrilled when I first got in contact with you because I discovered here you are, famous publicist in L.A. Then it turns out you're a poet, which makes you really special to me because I love poetry.
Well, you know, I'm thrilled that you do love poetry, Patsy, and I would love so many more people to love it. You know, people always say, I don't understand poetry, I'm afraid of poetry, on and on. And, you know, poetry, when a good poem, is easy to understand. It leads you in, it sort of tells you about yourself. You know, we read a poem to learn about ourselves sometimes, but a good poem is also entertaining.
Oh, it's very entertaining. Really, this idea of a poem a day is so good because when you read poetry, just for that moment, sometimes it's a very short poem, but even if it's a very short poem, just for that moment, something happens to your whole heart. It's just something, there's a different beat to it. And as you're reading, as you're reading poetry, and I love to read it out loud, the sound of it, the feeling of it, it gets into your system. So that's why I'm so happy that you're here, particularly because I wore this dress today for you, Mom. Is such a beautiful example of how simple words, simple ideas mean so very much.
Well, thank you, first of all. That's a lovely compliment. And I like what you say about how, you know, even a poem a day, it puts you in a different place. It changes your heart. It also changes your brain because the simplicity of the words and the condensedness of the little story, you know, a poem is like a little story. And it's like a puzzle sometimes. And your brain functions differently reading a poem than reading prose. Isn't that interesting?
And it's so true. It really does. And for people who have this experience of reading poetry, and it's a shame they don't teach it properly in school. They don't give it the joy that poetry should have.
Yeah, right, right.
For people who were lucky enough in the past who had a teacher who loved poetry and would just read poetry just for fun in the middle of a class of another subject, I had a teacher like that. She would read poetry from the British poets who were in World War One.
Oh, that's interesting. The amazing thing with children, and I've had the pleasure of teaching poetry workshops to fourth and fifth and sixth graders, is their imaginations are just unparalleled. And they're not afraid. You know, they don't know about editing or censoring yourself. And they go in so many beautiful directions. And you can give them a prompt. Like you can say, give me five things, three are true and two are lies. And write lines that three are real and two are not. And their imaginations are so amazing and so rich that they create these poems in the moment that adults would take weeks and months to try to get to the place where they have already gotten in 5 minutes. It's just amazing sometimes to watch.
Now, for you, this book is so personal. And tell us about why you wrote this book and what the title means to you.
Well, this book is my fifth collection. I wore this dress today for you, Mom. And I saw that throughout all, you know, poems in various collections, the poems that meant the most to people that I would hear about, they would send me an email or they would enjoy it reading, were the poems that I wrote about my own mother or being a mother. So I went through the book and I pulled out a lot of those poems. Plus, there are a lot of new poems. And so this is a compilation of poems about being a mother and having a mother. And also, my mother suffered from dementia and I really took care of her a lot in the end of her life. And I found, you know, although this doesn't sound funny, I did find some humor in what was going on with her. That's the only way I could kind of deal with it. So the book has an arc also. If you read it from beginning to end, it tells the story of my relationship with her and then her failing. And it also tells the story of my own motherhood. So the book is fun in that way, in that you can read it almost like a novel. Go through it from beginning to end and see a story of a family.
I think it's beautiful. And as you said, it really does tell a story of your family. Which poems do you want to read for us today?
Well, you know, I just got back from a book tour, Patsy. I was in New York, and I read at this wonderful store called Shakespeare and Company, and I read at a store called Trident in Boston. And you kind of get a feel what people like the most, how they react. And there's a little poem in the book called Bottled Water. And I think the poem really resonates with people because it's universal. And it's a good example of the kind of poem that's in the book because it's really about nothing. It's about buying bottled water, and yet it sort of tells the story of my mother in a way. So this poem is called Bottled Water. I go to the corner liquor store for a bottle of water. Middle of a hectic day, must get out of the office, stop making decisions. Quit obsessing, does my blue skirt clash with my hot pink flat? Should I get my mother a caregiver or just put her in a home? And I pull open the glass refrigerator door and confronted by brands, Arrowhead, Glitter Geyser, Deer Park, spring, summer, winter water, and clearly the bosses of bottled water, real water, and smart water. How different will they taste? If I drink smart water, will I raise my IQ but be less authentic? If I choose real water, will I no longer deny the truth, but will I attract confused, needy people who will take advantage of my realness by dumping their problems on me? And will I be too stupid to help them sort through their murky dilemmas? I take no chances. Buy them both. Sparkling smart, purified real. Drain both bottles. Look around to see. Is anyone watching? I'm now brilliantly hydrated, both real and smart. My insides bubble with compassion and intelligence as I walk the street with a new swagger, knowing the world is mine.
Oh, that is so good. And it is exactly what I tell people, that a simple thing in your life, a simple thing, can be turned into a poem that says so much.
Really, it's so much fun, Patsy, really, because I start these poems, I don't know where they're going to go. You know, this truly happened. I went for a bottle of water, but when I opened that refrigerator, the first thing I thought of was my mother. You know, this is how we all go through our lives, doing simple things, crossing the street, driving somewhere, preparing a meal, and thoughts come in our heads, and we don't know where they're coming from, but it's really about what's happening in our lives. And, you know, a poem is sorting out complex feelings, you know, trying to make sense of what doesn't make sense. That's what a good poem will do, both writing one and reading one, you know. The lead poem in the book, I don't know if you want me to read I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom.
Oh, yes, please. I love that one.
So this is a very different poem, you know, Bottled Water has no line breaks, just for your listeners. It's one straight, like, column. This poem is in stanzas, and it's a different kind of a poem. It's called I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. Breezy, floral, dancing with color. Soft, silky flows as I walk. Easter Sunday, and you always liked to get dressed. Go for brunch. Maybe there's a good movie playing somewhere. Wrong religion. We were not churchgoers, but New Yorkers who understood the value of a parade down Fifth Avenue, bonnets in lavender, powder blues, pinks, hues of spring, the hope it would bring. We had no religion, but we did have Noodlekugel, grandparents, dads who could fix stands, reach the china on the top shelf, carve the turkey. That time has passed. You were the last to go, Mom, and I still feel bad I never got dressed up for you like you wanted me to. I had things to do, but today in L.A., hot the way you liked it, those little birds you love to see flitting from tree to tree, just saw one, a twig in its mouth, preparing a bed for its baby, might still be an egg. I wish you were here. I've got a closet filled with dresses. I need to show you.
It's so lovely. And, you know, just recently when they had on the news, they had Easter programs and they were showing people in their Easter bonnets. And there was one particular one, a grandmother, and she's holding hands, and behind her are like three little girls all in bonnets. And I thought, and I immediately thought of you, and I thought, you know, and when you hear that song, In Your Easter Bonnet, which when I was a kid, I loved that song. I thought that was such a cool song.
I know.
Wasn't that wonderful?
I love that song. It was a great song. And I did grow up in New York, and there was this great parade, and, you know, spring meant something in New York. That's the thing. You know, out here in L.A., you don't really feel spring because it's very spring-like all year long.
The same in Detroit. I mean, people in Michigan, we had spring, and it was lovely. It was daffodils and tulips, which that's one thing I miss here in Florida. We can't have daffodils, tulips, or lilacs. It's just too hot. But, weren't they wonderful?
Beautiful. You know, beautiful. And a lot of my memories, childhood memories, come out in these poems. Even though I've lived on the West Coast for so many years, your first 15 years are so important. The memories that you keep in your heart, they've started to come out in a lot of my poems. I love that, actually. It's sort of a reminder of what used to be.
For me, the idea of daffodils, I used to love daffodils so much. And the reminder of my mother, because one of your poems, you talk about different mothers. And
yes.
My mother is that one, the first one you talk about, the one who taught me how to cut a rose, the one who taught me how to cook and plant tomatoes. And, of course, we would plant the tulip bulbs in October, you know, before the frost in northern Michigan. I love that poem, the Different Mothers.
Thank you. You know, that poem, as you say, it's called Different Mothers. And one thing I think all daughters are guilty of is no matter what your mother is like, you wish you had the other kind of mother. You know, it's like we always had a friend who had a different mother who did different things. You know, and my mother was a city mother, and she didn't know anything about planting or, as you're describing, which sounds... So I wrote a poem about different mothers. You know, some of us have the mothers who plant and teach us about the birds and the stars. My mother taught me how to accessorize, you know. I mean, it was like, but you always look at these other mothers and think, oh, what, I wish my mother was more like that, you know. Of course, then years later, you're very happy with exactly who your mother was.
Absolutely. It's true. So your love for poetry started when?
My love for poetry, actually, as a child, I will say that my grandmother would recite Russian poetry. She, you know, she knew Pushkin, and she knew all the greats. And she would recite. I didn't know what she was saying because I didn't understand the language, but I loved the music of poetry. And I loved Winnie the Pooh, and Dr. Seuss, and all these. To me, Dr. Seuss is great poetry. You know, you take some of those stanzas and you read them aloud, and they're fun and they're whimsical and they rhyme. So I used to memorize all these books and write little things. But it wasn't until I got to college, and I went to Emerson College in Boston, and they had an incredible writing program, and I had a young teacher named Thomas Lux when I was a freshman, and I took a class called Introduction to Creative Writing. And he basically changed my life and the lives of everybody in that class just through his pure exuberance and love and joy of poetry. He instilled that upon a group of us, and we've never stopped writing. And I'm talking many, many years later.
Well, of course, his poem about opening the refrigerator. I love that poem. It's just so wonderful.
Oh, it's a great poem. For your listeners, his name is Thomas Lux, L-U-X, and the poem is called Refrigerator. 1957. And he opens it, and I will tell you this, it is the greatest exercise. I use it in my classes. We sit and I read the poem aloud, and then I say, okay, you're 10 years old, you're 15 years old, open the refrigerator and describe what you see. And the poems that come out of that are magnificent. A great exercise. But, you know, Patsy, I chose a shorter poem by Thomas Lux, because that's a long poem. And I can read this if you would like.
Yeah, that's fine.
So this poem is three short stanzas. And try to see all the image, everything that comes to mind from these three short stanzas. It's called A Little Tooth. Your baby grows a tooth, then two, and four, and five. Then she wants some meat directly from the bone. It's all over. She'll learn some words. She'll fall in love with Cretan, Dolt, a sweet talker on his way to jail. And you, your wife, get old, fly blown, and rue nothing. You did, you loved, your feet are sore. It's dust, your daughter's tall.
It's so wonderful what a few words, a few lines can do. And
yeah.
I do hope that people will get this book. It is a wonderful book. It is called I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. And it's by Kim Dower. And you have, your website is Kim Dower Poetry, right?
Yep, Kim Dower Poetry, yep.
And it is a wonderful book, and you won lots of awards. And it's wonderful that you're out there reading your poetry around the country. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Patsy. It's been a lot of fun. I wish all your listeners a happy Mother's Day. Mothers, we do it all, Patsy. We really do.
We do.
You know, we do. And
you have in the front of the book a letter to your son, which is so touching. And I think people should read this and think about it, and also think about writing a letter to your children, explaining some things in your life, and perhaps start writing poetry yourself. Little things. It's so interesting how in life you can open a refrigerator or you can open a display cabinet in a 7-Eleven and you start writing about water. All these things that you can do with words when you have that joy of words. I think you're just wonderful, Kim. I'm so very, very proud to have you on Joy on Paper to celebrate Mother's Day and poetry.
Well, thank you, Patsy. You're such a wonderful hostess and a reader and a lover of words. And I want to see your poem on daffodils. Okay, so that's your assignment. Just that's your prompt, daffodils. And just whatever comes out of your head, don't edit, don't think, don't cross it out. Write it as if no one's ever going to see it. That's the best trick to writing a poem. You write as if no one's ever going to see it, and you get it all out, and then you edit it as if everyone's going to see it. But you understand what I'm saying?
Maybe I'll have it by the time Mother's Day comes around next year, and I'll read it to you, okay?
Oh, that's a deal. That's a date.
Okay. Thank you very much. Kim Dower, and the name of the book, again, is I Wore This Dress Today for You, Mom. You can get it online. She's an award-winning poet, and her website is Kim Dower Poetry. Thank you again. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.